duo. The duo. The duo.
I wanted to try to go to the Baylor game, but they sell the tickets in sessions.
Yeah.
And so after Baylor plays UNC in the morning, it's Creighton in Kansas right after. And so they're selling them for like $140. I'm like, bro, I just want to go to the Baylor game. It's right up there. It's in Fort Worth. So I'm like, damn.
Yeah. Dude, we were hoping NMSU was going to get sent there.
Yeah.
Like literally they got sent as far away as possible.
Yeah. Back on the almost in Canada,
literally like from the Mexican border, the Canadian border. Like that's literally what we did.
Yeah,
so
that's wild, man.
Oh. It's cool, man. I've never been to Buffalo. It's like a cool little city.
Yeah.
So,
what I was gonna say, yeah. So with the Baylor, like originally the Baylor's path that we had hoped for, like all the Baylor fans is like. First two games at Fort Worth, and then get sent to the South region because, you know, that's San Antonio. So it would have been two games in San Antonio, and then they made it to the Final Four.
Where's the region? Like, where are they going to get sent to, the Sweet 16?
Philly.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, man, appreciate you coming on. My guy, Colin Deaver. His second appearance on the duo, tying Jay Billis for the most guest appearances. Well, and Karina. Karina's been on three times? Two or three times.
I think it's twice. Did she count as a guest at that point? I mean, she has to be like a co-host.
Yeah, she might as well be the co-host, but she'll hate about how I don't have her on the podcast. Episode 78. Appreciate my guy Colin hopping on for Dane just for this episode. Dane is in the process of moving into a new home. All you homeowners out there, you know how that goes.
Big.
Yeah, big time, man. He's way more adult than I am. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
We're all 30, and he's almost 31, man.
Yeah. I forgot, like, somebody asked me how old I was the other day, and I could not remember. I'm like, I'm 30.
You turned 31 in May, right?
Yeah, coming up.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm 31 in April. That's why I remember is because you're like a month after me.
Yeah.
So, man, you're getting old.
Getting old, but good old 30 old, you know. Appreciate you taking the time out, man, especially covering March Madness up in Buffalo near the Canadian border, and
I've seen a couple Mounties in up here. No, seriously, like there was like a Mountie at the game the other day, like the Canadian, you know, talking about like the Canadian cop, like with the hat. Literally, there was one of those at the game.
Yeah, that's incredible, man. So is this? I know, you know, we met like 4 or 5 years ago. Wait, actually, it was longer than that.
2015.
How about that? Right. So you've covered how many tournaments? So you're covering New Mexico State right now, and they're in the tournament. How many years have you covered a team that was in March Madness?
This is the fourth time I've covered the dance. So it was 2 years, like when you and I were covering Texas A&M, that first year with like, it was Alex Caruso, Daniel House, Jalen Jones. That team made the Sweet 16. That was the year that like they beat Northern Iowa. They were down 12 with 34 seconds left.
A crazy shot. Yeah.
Yeah. And came back and won the game. Then lost to Buddy Hield in Oklahoma in the Sweet 16.
Yep. That was another one. I remember that one.
Yeah. And then 2018, they went to Charlotte. And they were a 7 seed that year, beat Providence, and then they upset number 2 seed North Carolina in Charlotte.
Yeah.
That year, and then 2019 was it 20? Yeah, it was 2019. Was Texas A&M Auburn in Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
Near upset for New Mexico State. They lost by 1. And then yesterday, I guess recording this, it's Thursday now. When New Mexico State beat UConn 70-63 in Buffalo, Teddy Allen, as of right now, the star of the NCAA tournament, dropped 37 points to lead them to the win.
I was just about to ask you about Teddy because, you know, obviously you always have those Cinderella stories or those unsung heroes, but, you know, you've covered New Mexico State all season, and I'm sure – you know, it might have been a shock or surprise to everybody else, but you followed this team all year, and you even had a during your one of your live shots or one of your posts I seen the night before, you were talking about how he could be that player. Like, you saw this, you've seen how he's been the entire year. What kind of player is Teddy Allen?
Like, so those shots that he was hitting, and like, I like understand, like, I've seen it all year, and it's still like mind blowing that, yeah, like, he's making the, like, how could you, like, and the way he shoots the ball, like, that herky jerky motion, like, it's literally like a dude at the rec center. Like we're just going to drag you out of the rec center and put you in March Madness and hit these shots. Like, that's how it is. Yeah. And, but it's like, at the same time, I have seen him hit those shots all year long. So it's like, as amazing as it is, it's so weird, like, to describe, because it's like, I'm all at once, like, not surprised at all, and then also surprised, because, like, you just can't imagine somebody hitting those shots on that stage, like, with the magnitude, and, like, he's that kind of player where, like, he struggles a lot to, like, get up for games that don't matter. And like, coaches and players are always say, like, every game matters, but like those like midweek whack games where they're playing, you know, Utah Valley or, you know, Cal Baptist or whatever, like, that is playing, not what, that's not when
competition. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when Teddy, but that is not when Teddy Buckets and New Mexico State, like, are with it. Like, it takes a setting like Thursday night in Buffalo, 12 seed versus a 5, you know, versus a Big East team, where like he has this way, and New Mexico State as a whole, but like especially him, like, they just have this way of stepping up to who they're playing. And I mean, you saw that Thursday night, like, that might be the greatest individual performance I've ever seen in my life from a basketball player. It was incredible to see in person.
Like, and you always see that on the big stage, right? Like, you know, it seems like more every year, March Madness is getting more maddening. Like,
yeah.
Like, I looked before we started recording, zero perfect brackets already. Like, I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't ever remember it getting like where, you know, nobody can kind of have that perfect scenario going. I mean, nobody's ever going to be perfect, but this early, you know, we're heading into the round of 32 tomorrow, and there's no perfect brackets. And so with the way New Mexico State is playing, like, I picked them in my bracket mainly because of, you know, I'm following you and I know how closely you follow the team. And how do you see them matching up with Arkansas? Arkansas squeaked by Vermont today. And so, you know, they're coming from the SEC where, you know, they had the big Giants in Kentucky who fell, Tennessee. But where do you kind of see New Mexico State matching up with Arkansas?
I mean, I think you're kind of seeing the SEC right now in the tournament, like, as good as it was, you know, as it seemed to be in the regular season. Like, there's been some teams in the SEC that have fallen unexpectedly haven't played as well as maybe people expected them to do, Arkansas included. I know Vermont, like, coming, like, people picked for, like, that was a trendy upset pick too.
I picked Vermont in my bracket.
Yeah, I thought about it. I really did. Like, that's, they shoot the hell out of the three ball.
Yeah.
And Arkansas is just so up and down. Like, they have some really good wins, but then they also lost to Hofstra.
Yeah.
And lost to Vanderbilt. So it's just, I think New Mexico State. So the way I described it on television tonight is, like, New Mexico State and UConn, those are, like, two very – like, they played almost the exact same style of play. Like, it's like, we're going to slow the ball down. Right. We're going to run the shot clock, like, play really hard, like, physical defense, rebound the ball. Whereas this is going to be a contrast of styles. Like, New Mexico State, they want to slow it down and just kind of try to grind you out. Whereas Arkansas, like, they want to get up and down, like, hard, like, get in you defensively full court. And so it'll be, like, New Mexico State has struggled with turnovers all year long. That's been one of their biggest issues, is just turning the ball over. And they did a good job on Thursday. I think I had the stat sheet in front of me. It's, where is it? Oh, that's Vermont. Hold on. Sorry. 11 turnovers. They had 11 turnovers. They averaged like 14 or 15 a game on the regular season. So like in Arkansas, like forces 14 or 15. So like if New Mexico State can limit their turnovers and then control the glass like they did against UConn, which was UConn was like a top three team rebounding, and New Mexico State out rebounded them. I think like I don't know, like I don't know that I'll say like they'll win the game, but like they're going to be in the game. It's at, like they're going to give themselves a chance at the end, to, in my opinion, to win the game. Like it'll be like you're going to get to the 5 minute mark and it's going to be within 5 points, I think. And then like again, like you got a dude like Teddy who, you know, if it's within 5 points with 5 minutes to go, like I can you think of a player in the tournament right now that like you'd rather have than that guy? Like,
yeah,
he's done this at the Power Five. He's averaged 17 a game at Nebraska last year. Like he can, like he does this. His brother Timmy plays at Texas. At like
AET,
Yeah, like he can do this, man. And like, and that's the other thing people ask: like, is he really like? Is it was that like a once in a like so often in March? Like you see dudes that like do that, and it's like the game of their life. Like, no, he does that. Like he like that's like a, that's like every day. Like not every day, but like he dropped 41, he dropped 33, he's dropped 30 multiple times this year. Like he can do that back to back games.
I listened to his interview right after the game, and I can't quote it per se, but it was something along the lines of this is what I do, man. Like it's like he seems like one of those kind of, I think I tweeted him being a hooper, like a hooper. Like
he said those, that after the game, he said I'm just a hooper.
That's why I clicked in my head, man, because I tweeted literally during that stretch towards the end. I was like, man, Teddy's a hooper. Like those guys that like, you know, just goes out there and gets buckets, and you know that's all you saw from him during that game against UConn. I love upsets. Everybody loves upsets, right? Except for when you're on the other end. And St. Peter's, bro, like the team account wasn't even verified before they beat
Kentucky. Are they verified now?
Verified now. And they had tweeted it.
Didn't take long.
They tweeted out, "We did it," with the verified check. Incredible, man. And you know, we saw the 16 beat the one back when Maryland
Glenn, actually.
You were?
Yeah, because that was in Charlotte in 2018. It was UMBC beat Virginia. UMBC.
Okay.
I don't want to flex or anything, but like that's just like I've been very blessed. I will say that I've been very, very blessed with like the things that I've been able to like watch and like see in my career. Like I saw like that, like 2016, Northern Iowa beat Texas on literally a half court shot at the buzzer. 2 days later, Texas A&M rallies from down 12 to beat Northern Iowa with 35 seconds.
Didn't you go to the national championship in Houston?
No, I didn't. We didn't have credentials. You had that game though, right?
No, I didn't. I didn't go.
We should have gone.
I know. The North Carolina Villanova crazy shot at the end.
Yeah. But then Charlotte in 2018 was like it was UMBC versus Virginia. Like I can't believe that happened. Like I was sitting courtside for it.
Incredible, bro. Like and yeah, so that segues me to this. Like a 15 beating the two. 16 beating the one, it's only happened once. But this is right up there. Like a blue blood powerhouse Kentucky Wildcats. Calipari, you know, I had Kentucky in my Final Four. I had them beating my Baylor Bears in Elite Eight. Like, you know, people got all my Baylor fans, you know, people that I know and friends, they got on me about it. I was just the way I saw it for Baylor. Of course, I would love more than them to go back to back. But just the injuries that we've gone through this year and, you know, the tournament is a tough stretch to go through to repeat. So I was like, let me do some reverse psychology. I'm thinking in my head, but I definitely had Kentucky moving on. But St. Peter's, would you see that as, even though it was a 15-2, do you compare that like a greater upset than the 16-1 because we know who Kentucky is?
I still think I see the argument. Like I think it's a there's definitely an argument to be made for it. I would still say 16 over a one, just because it's like it's only happened once. But like I saw the stat where I hope I'm right on this, but I think like all of the Kentucky assistant coaches made more money, like a lot more money, than the St. Peter's head coach.
That's crazy.
Which is, so it's just like, you put like into your point, like about that, like that 15 upset being like, cause that, I mean, that's like, I'm trying to like put this into terms of like college football, but that's, I mean, that's like, I don't like, that's like UTEP beating Alabama in football.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it's just like you, it should never happen.
Ohio State or something like that.
Yeah. And for them to do that, I mean, that's so awesome. I will say, like, covering the tournament, like when you're on site, you're just so like locked into like what's happening. Like, I actually didn't know that Kentucky lost until like 2 hours after the game.
Yeah.
So until somebody was like, "Yo, did you see like this?" I was like, "What? No."
What's so crazy? Like, you know, because you're working, you're covering your squad. You know, you got live shots, you got packages, you got stuff you have to do for your station. And I mean, you really wouldn't be looking at Twitter. You wouldn't know. Like before we were recording, I was letting you know about the end of the Colgate Wisconsin game.
Yeah.
So it was like you wouldn't know, but I just know like. I just love this time of year because we always see those situations like comparing to any other like sporting event, like March Madness is up there, like top two, maybe best thing, top sporting event to be a part of. And even
especially
you covering
these 2 days, it's like this, for those Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like I've covered teams that went to the Sweet 16, but I've never been to the Sweet 16. And like, I would like to go, but like this is, I'm also fine with this.
Yeah.
Like, because this first, it's so cool. Like, you could, because anything can happen. It's so cool.
What's the what's New Mexico State's region? Where would the Sweet 16 Elite Eight be?
They're the West, so they win tomorrow. They'll play the winner of Gonzaga Memphis. So probably Gonzaga in San Francisco.
San Francisco. Okay. I just didn't know
from the exact from Buffalo to San Francisco.
Coast to coast. Coast to coast CD.
Yeah. We'll see. They can do it. We'll see.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Yeah. March Madness has always been up there, man. I can't say it enough. I know a lot of people love this time of year. Are there any other like surprising things that you saw over the weekend or through the first two days of games?
I guess like just from my vantage point here, like, so we had the whole region here in Buffalo is 5-12, 4-13s. So like you kind of go in knowing like, oh, like we could see some upsets here. It was not only NMSU over UConn, but the 12-5 up. The other 12-5 upset was Richmond over Iowa, and that was here in Buffalo.
Right.
And first of all, Keegan Murray for Iowa is that guy. Like, he's a projected lottery pick. Like, seeing him in person, he was fun to watch.
Yeah.
I know they lost, but like he was 16. Fun to watch. Yeah. And he is like. Like you talk about like prototypical like NBA wing player, like it's that guy. You know, he can shoot, he's athletic, he's long, like he was just fun to watch. But like seeing Richmond, a 12 seed who finished sixth in the Atlantic 10 regular season,
had to make
season,
a run.
Right, man. They had to make a like, but the thing of it was is like this team that had to make a run in the A-10 tournament to even get to where they are, like they step on the court with Iowa. And I was like, man, they match up, like physically, like there was no, like, if you take the jerseys off of those guys, other than like one starter of the starting five for both teams, that was like, I don't know that I would have been able to be like, okay, that's the Big Ten team, that's the A-10 team.
And it's so crazy when you think about, like, that's what the tournament is, right? Like, it comes down to matchups. Like,
yeah,
I know for sure. When, you know, Baylor's schedule or, you know, potential run, I'm thinking about how we match up with certain teams, because that's what it comes down to when you have a team that say has like for example, has like two 6'10 guys, and on our squad we got a 6'5 guy. I'm just using an example, like just good luck. But when you know, it comes down to those guys that, you know, can become matchup nightmares for whoever they're playing. So yeah, I feel you on that one.
Yeah, and Richmond was, man, like they shoot the ball well, they pass well, like their point guard, like, just makes, like, I was like sitting courtside for like the first like 30 minutes of that game, like just the passes he makes, like the way he orchestrates, like, I don't know if you remember when Tyler, like that year we covered A&M and they hosted Kentucky and like game day came.
That always comes up on my time hop of us.
Right. Yeah, but like Tyler Ulis was on that Kentucky team. Yep. Remember how he just like controlled like everything that they, like, that's I would describe that point guard for Richmond of, in terms of like Tyler Ulis. Like he's just like not like Kentucky wanted to get up and down, and like Richmond wants to like slow it down a little more, but just in terms of like he is controlling every aspect of the game. That's what, like, that's how I would compare it to.
Yeah. Those 12-5 matchups are, you know, that's money. Like, you're hitting on like at least two of those per tournament. I think the stat was like since 2010, 12 had beaten 5 17 times. So yeah. I know I picked a couple of 12s in my bracket. Richmond one and New Mexico State was my other one. Yeah.
So you hit on both of them then?
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, man, good matchups heading into day 3 of the tournament. Day 4, we'll find out at the end of this weekend, Sweet 16 games. Colin, of course, we have March Madness in the NCAA, but we've had March Madness in the NFL, bro. Both of us are diehard Bronco fans, man. I think, you know, that's initially, you know, we're both stationed, you know, in College Station reporting, but when we found out we were Bronco brothers, man, you know, that's a bond that can never ever be broken.
How did you figure that out, by the way? Because I remember, like,
I don't know.
Just walked up to you at a press you know what it was, is like with the first day we met was an A&M press conference. Yep. And I like walked up to you and I was like, that guy looks like he's my age, we should be like, I was literally like, I think we're like the same age, we should be friends. So like, so that's why I walked up to you, and then it's come to find out you're a Broncos fan. It worked out.
Man, it's good to have, you know, talk to a Bronco fan. Like, I could talk freely without being ridiculed by Dane and his cowboyness. He needs to take a break. No, I'm playing. But man, we had March Madness in the NFL. Like, I tweeted something like it being the most NBA-ish NFL offseason that, you know, ever. Like, by far, this has been the craziest offseason with, obviously, Rodgers coming back, Russell Wilson to the freaking Broncos, man. I went crazy on that last week with Dane. But I'm going to ask you about how do you feel Russell changes our squad, bro?
I mean, I hope for the better, obviously. I will say, like, I'm not, you know, we always joke, like, I'm the pessimistic Broncos fan. Like, I'm always the pessimist here when it comes to Broncos fandom, and you're always the optimist.
I love it.
I will say, and I hate that I'm starting negative. Like, I will say that, like, he's not old, you know, but like, I just, like, I worry a little bit that maybe he's like past his prime, because he's like such a just in terms of his mobility. But like, there's no way he's like, he'll be better than Teddy Bridgewater, he'll be better than Drew Lock, he'll be better than Trevor Siemian. Like, he's going to be better than anybody we've had since Peyton, obviously. And with those receivers that he had, like, that's the thing I'm so excited for, to just like seeing with Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy.
We have to give up Jeudy or somebody, you know, one of those young receivers that we just signed to, what compared to all these contracts we've seen, like, seem like steals now for us.
Right. Well, the thing too, like, even when he was in Seattle, like, he really had, like, I guess, Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett, I guess, but, like, I don't feel like he's had a receiving core as good as what Denver has right now.
It's not. Nope. I agree.
So that's really like, and that maybe that helps him like transition into like the next phase of his career, where it's just like, all right, you're like, yes, you've lost a little bit of your mobility, but like, like you can just like, you have like a good offensive line and you have really good receivers that you can just like, you know, pick apart a defense. So yeah. You know, that's really exciting, dude. And dude, the move that I was most surprised about, was it Thursday or Friday? Not Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
Like
nobody knew.
That was why, that was nuts to me. And I, it kind of, for him personally, it makes sense. Like he's from, like played ball at Fresno State, like from California, like from a personal standpoint, it makes sense. But I was just surprised that that's what he decided to do.
Yeah. And him choosing Derek Carr over Aaron. And from the reports are saying it was more so, like you had mentioned, him being, you know, played college ball with Derek Carr, but also seeing Derek Carr as like long-term option of having a good quarterback, not knowing how long Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. And apparently Aaron Rodgers knew when he was re-signing that Devontae Adams is, you know, on his way out, which is kind of funny because that, in hindsight, I step back and I'm like, okay, so it really was about the money, I think, for Aaron Rodgers, because he signed that big contract knowing Devontae was going.
What was the terms again? Like, what was the exact terms?
Initially it came out, it was like 4 years, $200 million, but it was like three for like 150. I'm just rough guesstimating, but I think it was around that area. But
jeez,
and insane. And you know, back to the Russ thing, I kind of agree with him, you know, not having his best years the last few years in Seattle. I think he gave up, not him, but he took like 40 something plus sacks, and I think that is him trying to make too much, you know how Russ plays, like that razzle dazzle, always trying to make a play. And hopefully, my hope is that if he kind of changes that mentality, you know, he can be who he is, like scramble around, make plays, but like trusting guys to, or especially his O-line to kind of protect them and know that, you know, he'll have decent time to throw the ball. But yeah, the AFC West in general, bro. Khalil Mack going to the Chargers. J.C. Jackson. We mentioned Devontae Adams. It's just, it's every game in the AFC West is like prime time TV. And
I agree.
It's definitely gonna be something that I'm obviously tuned into every game. I'm gonna try to catch a game next year. I gotta catch a game next year.
I haven't been to a Broncos game in fives. It'll be 20. It was like, it was the last game of the 2016 season, the year after they won the Super Bowl. They played the Raiders on the final day of the season. And it was like, did they finish? It was either 10-6 or 9-7 that year. Like they were good, but still missed the playoffs.
That was a 9-7 year.
Okay, and so
was it Trevor Siemian was our quarterback?
I think so, yeah. But yeah, like, if they had somebody had to lose in like the morning session of the games, and then they had to team had lost and they had won, like they would have made it. And they of course like destroyed the Raiders, but the team in the morning won, so it didn't matter. That was the last Broncos game. That's one of only two Broncos games I've ever been to. The only other one was Jacksonville in like 2008.
Oh dang,
Maurice Jones-Drew and us.
Well, that's what happens when you're a working man superstar reporter, bro. You ain't got time for the Broncos.
Stop it.
I went to this year. I went. The Broncos beat the Cowboys. I was there. I was there with Dane. Yeah, it was Dane.
How did Dane take it?
What'd you say?
How did Dane take it?
So let me preface. It was his first ever Cowboy game. He had been to the stadium for Texas high school football, but he had never been to a Cowboy game. So now he said he's never going back. The other great thing about it, his brother went with us, and his brother's a Broncos fan like me. And so we were just, it was me and his brother James on this side. Dane was just like, the entire game, because we whooped their ass that game. Like,
yeah, it was like 29-0, wasn't it?
At one point, yeah. You know, and it was so much orange in the crowd. I was so hyped. Like, So much orange in the crowd. Then, like, on the way out, everybody's like, let's go, Broncos. Like, we weren't under 500.
Like, that was the best. That was easily their best game of the year.
The year, bro. I'm like, and that, we had just traded Vaughn, so everybody was like, dang, we finna be bad on defense.
Vaughn signed with the Bills while I'm here in Buffalo.
Yes. Yeah. Bro, what? Okay, we were talking about this before we started recording. We love Vaughn. We love everything he's done for the Broncos.
He's, other than maybe Rod Smith, he's my favorite Bronco of all time.
Yes. And my dog cashed out 6 years, 120, what, 51 million guaranteed at 33, bro?
33. Vaughn,
I'm not mad.
It's not like you're a quarterback. Okay, linebacker, 6 years.
Yeah.
What are the Bills doing? Like, happy for that guy. I hope he can get another Super Bowl. I do. What are the Bills doing, though? What are you, like?
I don't know, man.
The history of the league, like, and I get it. Like, he's like, he played really good this year. Like, after he got traded, like, he was huge for the Rams on that Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
Man. Like, you just gotta, like, you have to look at like the history of the league, and like you said he's 33 now. Or 32.
Is he about to turn 33?
I honestly don't know.
I think he's 33. Let me check.
He's
32. 32. Oh, he'll be 33 on the 26th. So a week from today, he'll be 33.
So he'll be 30. So like, yeah, by the end. I mean.
Yep. Hey, paid,
man.
Yeah, get your money, man. Get your money.
Yeah, happy for him. But yeah, the Bills, I don't know how that's gonna work for him. We'll see.
Yeah, AFC is loaded. Today, Deshaun Watson got traded to the Cleveland Browns, and he may not even step on the field this season, depending on how the NFL deals with this situation. And I will ask you on this, man, because I feel some type of way. I haven't really said it a lot publicly, but I talked to, you know, Dane about it closely. And, you know, especially with how the NFL handles certain situations, and, you know, the one with Deshaun Watson is so weird to me, because the way the NFL has dealt with certain situations seems weird. And not, I won't even say fair, because that's not the right word. But I'll just say, like, for the Ridley situation, where Ridley got caught gambling on his own team, which is against the rules, but he's getting suspended for, what, the whole season. And then we don't know what Deshaun Watson's punishment is going to be. But this man got 6 years. Am I right? 5 years or 6 years? 5 years, 250 mil. Let me see if I get this right, because I just put it in my text. He got 5 years, 230 mil guarantee. from the Browns. 5 years, 230 mil guarantee, making him the highest paid player in NFL history and still dealing with 22 civil suits for that situation. That don't sit right with me. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just saying, like, I feel like the balance, or from a outside looking in, like, if you're saying, like, this guy's dealing with these situations, these 22 civil suits, and people have their own opinions about it, but to go from that to being the highest paid player in the NFL during Women's History Month, I that's just so weird, man. What do you think?
I mean, so obviously it's important to note that he hasn't, like, obviously hasn't been charged. Like, the criminal case is, like, was thrown out, but the civil case is not nothing. And, like,
exactly. And that doesn't mean he's not guilty either. Like, That's the argument that people don't understand.
Right. Like, that, like, just because there's not enough evidence to convict him in a criminal court of law doesn't mean something did it. It's very like, and I know this is like there are a lot of Baylor fans on it. Like it seems very similar in some ways to what happened at Baylor a few years back. Like just because there isn't enough to convict everybody on what like that doesn't mean any like absolutely not. Like it seems like, you know, what is it? It's 22 different women with Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. Like that is, I'm sorry, man. And that's
what's important about that.
It's too much. That's like 22 people aren't just lying. That's how I feel. Like 22 people aren't just lying.
And you know why I also feel like that? 22, and some of them put their name like in the suit. Like to me, if I'm lying, I'm not putting my name. I'm anonymous in this lawsuit. Yeah. Or I'm anonymous in this case, you know? And I had to go back and read before we hopped on, I read some of the other, like a news article about one of the ladies that were in the lawsuit. And it's just crazy stuff, man. And for me, it's just like that situation is just weird. So I'm interested to see, like, you know, in the past, the NFL has not really been consistent with like the domestic abuse thing, like suspensions and you know, things of that nature. And so that's why I brought that up, because with the Calvin Ridley situation, he got suspended a whole year for gambling, which, you know, it's against the rules. We know that.
Yeah. No, but I'm not sitting here and saying like, it's just like the Calvin Ridley thing is so interesting because like all of these leagues, be it NFL, NBA, like they're like it's some of these, leagues, it's like the NFL today sponsor, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn here and like say like, but it's like the NFL presented by FanDuel or whatever. Like, and I know, like, I know I'm probably getting the sponsorship wrong, but it's like that stuff happens. And it's just,
he's not the only one for sure.
And I'm forgetting who the person was who I saw this tweet from, but it was like, you know, you can't have that stuff. And then like, the players are betting on the game. And again, they shouldn't be betting on the games. Like I'm also of that opinion too. Like you shouldn't be, the Calvin Ridley shouldn't be betting on the game. That's how I feel that way. But it's also like, okay, like if you're going to say like Calvin Ridley shouldn't be betting on the game or whoever can't be betting on the game, like, but then also be embracing like FanDuel and all of these things as like direct sponsors and like partner, like it's just like, it's such a fine line. As
we can go,
your point. Yeah.
And like that goes real deep into a lot of things. Colin Kaepernick popped in my head because they're talking about, you know, they had all the end racism things and, you know, this guy can't get a job, whether you feel he should be starting in the NFL or not. I feel like he's at the point where he was making his comeback, and I think he's still trying to make one. There are a lot of quarterbacks that have jobs that aren't better than Colin Kaepernick.
I agree. Does Nathan Peterman still have a job?
Dude, Peterman in Buffalo, you know? No, I'm just saying he was in Buffalo at that time. When he threw like 7 picks in one game. Oh, like, bro, come on, this dude got
it. You're absolutely right. Like, it's just like you were saying at the start, like just the inconsistencies of the league itself. And Kaepernick is one, like Ridley, and then Deshaun Watson might be maybe the worst of it all. Like,
right.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about, man, but he's headed to the Browns. Baker Mayfield, we don't know where he's going.
I'll say this. I do not feel bad for Baker Mayfield.
I'm like, this generation, and I don't even know. We're older than Baker, so that the way he went about that was kind of weird. It's all about perception now, right? And trying to get ahead of things, and I'm doing everything I can for the city, all this kind of thing, bro. Just play football, in my opinion. But that note with his middle name, he was just asking to get ripped on that, but. Where do you think he goes? I mean, Houston didn't want him.
That was telling.
The Colts, maybe?
The Colts are apparently like a place he wants to go. Or like he would be okay with going. Is that like, I don't know. I mean, Indy's going to need a quarter. I mean, I don't think he's like, I don't think he's terrible.
Yeah.
I think he's a okay NFL quarterback. I think like,
He's done. I mean, I'm not knocking what he's done in the league so far. He got Cleveland their first playoff win in Lord knows how long. That's an accomplishment. But I mean, it's just weird how every social media has played out and like how things can change over social media and how perceptions and how people want to be seen and all those things are funny to me. But in general, bro, the AFC quarterback play is insane. You know, we got Russell Wilson now in the AFC West. We already had Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes. Going to have Deshaun Watson at some point in the North with Lamar Jackson.
Joe Burrow.
And Joe Burrow, of course, just went to the Super Bowl. And then who we got in the – who am I missing in the South? The big quarterbacks in the South.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence, if you want to throw him out there.
Yeah.
I mean, the Titans, I mean, it's Tannehill, but like they're, I mean, it's not totally Tannehill with the Titans. It's just like, you know, they're the Titans.
I think they should have got a quarterback unless they're looking for a draft, but I don't think Tannehill's the guy, man.
And then Mac Jones with New England. I mean, he's all right. I mean, the West is like, I mean, I think it's fair to say as good as Russell Wilson is, he's the third best quarterback in our division.
Yeah, man.
Like it's Mahomes, Herbert, you know, as an Oregon grad, like,
dude, we could have had. Remember, I think I texted you or something. I came across a tweet not too long ago. I think it was like maybe a year ago or something. And I said if Justin Herbert would have came out his junior year, I think Denver would have gotten him because John Elway loved that dude so much, like. He wanted him so bad, but he came back for his senior year. I can't remember where we went, what direction we went in at that point. But
was that did we take Chubb that year?
2018? What year was that?
Herbert came out in 2020.
Let me see. I'm going to have to look up who we drafted that year.
Was Chubb 2018 or 2019?
Let's see. So 19, we drafted Noah Fant, Dalton Risner, Drew Lock.
Got it.
2020, we drafted. Look at us, the best Bronco fans. We know who we got. Who we drafted? We got Jerry Jeudy. KJ Hamler. Okay.
So 19 would have been the year if he'd come out. They would have had a shot at him.
Yeah, but yeah, man, it's going every, you know, as much as the division games are going to matter, the games outside the division will matter even more because, I mean, the games in the division are going to be so bad. You're like, you got to win outside the division to kind of keep up. Right. Yeah, every game is going to be tough, bro. But, Tom Brady coming back, bro. I didn't get to talk about this on the last episode because we had already recorded, but why won't he leave me alone?
He just wants to lose more playoff games to the Broncos is what he wants. You know, that's what people don't know. Tom Brady, he's 1-3 in the playoffs against the Broncos. The one win was at home versus Tim Tebow.
Yep.
I'll take that to my MF grave.
Yes.
I'll take that to my damn grave.
Yes. Sir, let him know. Let him know. CD
3 in the playoffs against the Broncos, and the win was against Tim Tebow at home. Mm-hmm. He cannot win at Mile High. He just can't. He can't do it.
He can't. Hence him going to the NFC where he didn't have to deal with Denver anymore. So
Speaking of him in the NFC, did you know he has as many playoff wins over NFC teams as Aaron Rodgers?
What?
Because he's won 7 Super Bowls, wow. 6 of them in the AFC, and then he has 4 wins with the Buccaneers in the NFC in the playoffs.
Wow. Yeah. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, bro, I don't see how are the Bucs the best team in the NFC now? Wait, because Susan,
I still think I'd give the Rams the nod for now.
The Rams. Forgot about the Rams.
I would still give the Rams the nod for right now. Because since they just won the Super Bowl, I think that's fair.
I definitely forgot about the Rams and they just won it all.
The Packers are going to be good though. I mean, the Bucks are going to be good. Like those two guys, you're always going to have a chance. Like if they're on your team.
Yeah. So. I think I said something how Rodgers, I talked about this with Dane on an episode, was the playoff players come down to, or Packers losing in the playoffs came down to Rodgers. Like, He in the regular season from week 1 to week 18, he's playing tremendous football, obviously back-to-back MVPs, but come playoff time, man, I don't know what it is or what it's been, like, dude has struggled. So it's come down to him. Like, you know, you had Davante Adams, you got your boy Aaron Jones from El Paso holding it down, but
Burgess High School, man.
But yeah, it's coming down to him, you know, playing better. I feel like they'll probably go out and get some type of receiver for him. You would hope.
Losing Devontae, you got to go get somebody.
You would think.
Who would they get though? I mean, maybe is there somebody in the draft that could get?
Ain't no big. I mean, there are big name receivers left, but
the big name left them.
The big name left them, like. But I'm talking about Odell is a free agent, but you know, he just tore his ACL. And he's, you got Julio that just got cut from the Titans, but he didn't look the same in Tennessee. So
he's done. I will say this though, like Tannehill's your quarterback, like whatever. Like I'm biased. He took Marcus Mariota's job in Tennessee. But it's just, he went to A&M.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like a double whammy. I'm like, really? So like, I'm just like, like objectively, he's actually like played well for them the last few years, but I'm just like, I never want to give him credit. Yeah. That's unfair of me. I know it's unfair of me to do.
That's so funny, man. I appreciate you, brother, copping on with me at this late hour. I know you got it's 1:30 over there in New York, so I know you got a busy day tomorrow. New Mexico State plays at what time?
It's 8:40 Eastern, 7:40 Eastern. Dude, that's a wild. That's been the weird thing about Eastern time, like this week, getting it. It's just like.
Because you're in Mountain in El Paso, correct?
Yeah, we're on Mountain time up there. So, which I grew up, like I'm from Colorado, so I grew up on Mountain time, and so it's like. To like, again, I'm biased, but it's like, to me, that's like the best time zone, because it's like things aren't starting too late, but like Pac-12 football or whatever, like in the fall, like any like West Coast NBA games, like, you know, they're starting at like 8:00.
Right.
So like, they're over at 10:30. So it's not like this like obscene hour to be watching sports. So like, that's why I always say it's like the best at like time zone. Basically, yeah. But yeah, Eastern time zone, it's going to be, it's like the game, like the first game here in Buffalo didn't start till 6:00 tomorrow.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So like, we only have shows at 6 and 10 Mountain time. So
hey, big show.
I gotta go to Niagara Falls. Tomorrow's the day to go.
Nice. So, yeah. I've been to New York City, but that's like the only New York I've been to.
Yeah.
But I'll have to make that trip out there at some point. But tell the people where they can follow you, my guy.
Hit me on Twitter @ColinDeaverTV. That's really I mean, I've just devoted so much of my social media presence to Twitter. I'm not really on anything else. Yeah.
Let me talk about Colin, man. Colin is a freaking superstar on the rise, man. This guy is getting commitment exclusives recently. KJ Allen.
KJ Lewis.
Lewis, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I just want to shout out my guy, man. I love that kid. He's if you're a fan of college basketball, he's committed to Arizona.
Yeah.
Class of 2023. He's so, like, you know, I think he will end up in the NBA. He reminds me, if I could, like, you're going to laugh because I'm a Nuggets fan. He reminds me of Gary Harris.
Okay.
I think
you were sending me highlights of this guy years ago,
dude. Like, he's
first started, like, covering him.
So he's like 6'4", just, but like he's going to committed Arizona, just like freak athlete. Like that's the thing that like that stands out the most, of just like how athletic he is, and like
yeah.
the things that he was doing as a freshman in high school, and even like I mean he's about to be a senior now, but like the things he was doing as a freshman in high school is just like, oh my god. So he's and he's just like, dude, like you've done this job too, and like you just like meet those kids that are just like, they're just great kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just such a great kid, and like he deserves everything that's like coming to him and that has come to him. Like it's just really hard not just, you know what I mean, just like not to be happy for him.
To root for him, exactly.
Yeah, so I know that's a tangent that, you know, people don't care about, but
yeah. And for him to and his family to allow y'all to get the exclusive, man, I feel like that's a testament to what you guys do. And, of course, you, man, I always hold it down for you down here, man. I always shouting out my guy and letting people know about the Colin Deaver.
Oh, please. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Of course, man. Episode 78 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Make sure you check us out on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, all those digital streaming platforms, or our website, www.theduosportsandstuffpodcast.com. Colin, appreciate you, brother.
See you later. Go Ducks. The Duo.